Oh, what an incredible honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. Ken Matthews being to do his typical great work tomorrow. Mark Stein was here earlier in the week. We'll get something Mark said. I had to pull over and laugh. I heard something Mark said. The man himself, Rush Limbaugh, will be back on Friday behind the Golden EIB microphone. If I sound ummy, it's because the president has invoked something called the Defense Production Act. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't gone through and read this in detail. I can tell you that what I've read, there's three sections of this, right? It authorizes the president to require businesses to sign contracts or fulfill orders deemed necessary for national defense, authorize the president to establish mechanisms, regulations, etc., order agencies to allocate materials and services, facilities to promote national defense. Am I reading from Wikipedia? I am. I've also read from the FEMA website. The third section authorizes the president control the civilian economy so that scarce and/or critical materials necessary to national defense are available for fighting this. So he's treating this like a battle. It's going to be. This is what Mark said yesterday, Mark Stein, when he wasn't making fun of me for fixing to bake up a moose I saw on my property. I appreciate that, Mark. Mark was saying that the same left that has said forever that the president needs to be more authoritarian in this, that he needs to clamp down harder and harder, that he wasn't doing that. So they were saying, wait, you're not being Hitlerian enough. You need to be, you know, called him Hitler for these years. You need to be Hitlerian more Hitlerian. You need to clamp down. So now what are they going to say? Well, the president steps in and does begin to use the legal muscle of the office to do this. It'd be fascinating to watch what he does. I think we're going to be looking at masks production. They're going to be looking at oxygen tanks, etc. I think, you know, since the president decided to land a hospital ship off the coast of New York, as opposed to spending time to send the Army Corps of Engineers there to build a hospital, I think it's getting to be extraordinary. And I'm going to make a prediction. I don't do this often because I don't consider myself smart enough to go around making a bunch of predictions. I mean, there are broad things you can see. The left is destroying America. They're building intersectional enemies. They're going to create a division in society. They're scapegoating portions of society, which ends in societal collapse. They're creating a low-trust society where people say, why should I follow the laws? The left doesn't. They're doing all that. That's easy to see. But a specific near-term prediction, I think the president is handling this to such a degree that I think this becomes a major win for him, which coincidentally enough, means major life saves. Isn't that great when a good thing politically also is a good thing morally and from a perspective of lives? And we'll talk about the details of the policies. I don't know this act well enough, to be honest with you, to sit here and say, oh, I think it's constitutionally dangerous or not. I don't. And I'm not going to pretend I do or that I read it in 10 minutes and then therefore I'm now an expert on this. We've been taking calls, and I'll get to some of the news here in a second. We've been taking calls around the country. I want to juxtapose something. We've been talking to people who are working extra shifts in labs testing for the coronavirus. We've been talking to truckers who are delivering back and forth, bringing domestic goods. We've been talking to people. We didn't think about this in the copier industry, in the printer industry, because all these forms are getting printed. They're working overtime. We got a call. Guy couldn't stay on because he was on his route. He's a sanitation worker. He's saying, hey, listen, we're on the front lines. We're picking stuff up that can have the virus in it, right? Of course they are. And they're on the front lines of this. But here, without an exception, everybody who's called has been in good spirits. Every single person who makes America has been in good spirits. You know, I got to groceries delivered at home, and I tipped the person. I gave her $20. You deliver it to the car. You pull a curb, said you deliver it to the car. She was in great spirits. It's, you know, it's 20 degrees. I say, where's your coat? She goes, I'm too hot. I'm working too hard to do that. She's in great spirits. But I want to compare this, and this I do want to speak as someone who is in Seattle, which is the epicenter of where this began. It all began in one elder care facility is where all the deaths began, and the highest proportion, 80% or more, are coming from this one center. So those families are hurting. It's horrific. But I want to call out the national media. Guess what you're not doing? You are not helping anybody because you're panic mongering, and at this point, I don't even know if you know you're doing it. But you are, at this point, divorced from a great portion of America. Let me give you some examples. You remember we heard that the president had done away with the dissolved the pandemic response team? Untrue. This has been now debunked by two different people. There was PBS had their correspondent, Yamichi Alcindor, say that the president dissolved the pandemic response team. In response to that, a guy who was with the National Security Council, Tim Morrison, wrote an op-ed for the WAPO, Washington Post, accepted the op-ed where he said this didn't happen. What the president did is he downsized an agency that had become bloated and had begun doing other things, like, you know, mission creep. And what he did was he combined two portions of an agency so they could streamline responses better. It was never dismantled. It was never dissolved. That never happened. And yet it is reported and it's amplified. So PBS does it. Then it's the New York Times is saying these things. I got to tell you, to the national media, you're not helping people in the hot zone. My friends and family who have to go to work, there's the people who have to self-quarantine. I have a friend of mine who's overcoming cancer. He can't be out. You know, one of my colleagues, I'm broadcasting from KTTH studios in Seattle. One of my colleagues, Jason Rantz, he has asthma. He should be self-quarantining, right? And this is the hot zone. You're not helping. Let me give you some other examples. This is shameful. It is, I mean, in a legitimate time of fear, to see the New York Times say that the president told state governors they're on their own in terms of getting respirators. This they tweeted it. They reported it. The president said, you're on your own. No, he didn't. This is a direct, demonstrable, purposeful lie. This is slander. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say that it's slander, but it's slanderous. What the president said was it's faster. It may be faster. It may be cheaper if you buy this stuff on your own. I'm giving you a waiver. Go around us. Get the stuff. Get it for your people. It's the direct opposite. He said, we've got your back, but it might be faster if you do this on your own. Let me get out of the way. Sometimes what great leaders do at moments is they say, let me get out of the way. What do I need to move for you? People, process, perception. What do I need to move? Is it an issue of money? Is it an issue of people? Is it an issue of regulation? What do I need to change? How quickly can we move? So now you see a President Trump, and we may, as conservatives, come back later and say, well, I don't know about this, you know, this Defense Production Act. I don't know. I haven't read it. But what you're seeing now is a guy with incredible energy. And now you just compare. Look, Biden, just please. And because my mother's second husband, suffered dementia and in early onset Alzheimer's, I don't joke about it because it's savage. Here's what I joke about is the press pretending that Joe Biden has the mental capacity to focus at this degree. Do you see the focus coming out of the White House? I mean, we start the show. I see that there's a hospital ship coming off the coast of New York. And the media, they're not going to tout that. But the comparison that I am looking at side by side is the American people on the front lines with good spirits, scared, but with good spirits. And the media wants to drumbeat the down, they want a drumbeat that we're all that we're all going to lose, that we're all going to die. I mean, it's phenomenal. You have an MSNBC legal correspondent. This is presumably a lawyer. Oh, it is. He's looking for a way to put he wants to charge the president with homicide. He wants to charge him with negligent homicide. Because in this guy's opinion, he didn't respond in the way he'd like. He didn't respond quick enough. And he says, I'm always looking for novel ways to use the homicide laws. Are you kidding me? He's an Obamaton. He says that he wants to use homicide laws to hold accountable people who lead to loss of life. Have you been to Planned Parenthood? Have you seen their focus on this? Your side is actively doing this, and you would argue, well, but that's not life. I get it. That's your ideological position. But folks, step back for a second and listen to the American people tell their stories. What are you doing right now? I'm asking you legitimately, what are you doing right now? Okay, you're listening to Rush's show. There's this fill-in guy, Todd Herman, like, I want Rush back. He'll be back Friday. There's something else you're doing. I bet you're working or you're homeschooling or you're cleaning your home or you're delivering goods or you are a cop. You're in your car. I hope you're allowed to listen to the show. Where's your attitude at? Are you hanging this around the president? Are you saying, oh, he's the worst, orange man bad, etc.? Or are you saying, no, we're going to make this together? Are you of good spirits? And if you're in a hot zone, because Seattle's not the only hot zone. I get it. New York's a hot zone. You guys have become a hot zone. I've talked to people prior to the show who are in New York and they're sick. Oh, I'm going to go get tested. I don't know if I can today. But they're in good spirit. They're working. They're in good spirits. The media is losing. Hear me. They're losing. Already, they can't change our minds. They cannot change Trump supporters' minds. They can't. I believe they may be losing the middle because of the swift action the president's taking. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. The Defense Production Act the president has invoked in 2011. This is, again, Wikipedia, just for, you know, I'm just learning about this just like you are. Barack Obama, president, used it to force telecommunication companies under criminal penalties to provide detailed equipment outlines to the Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security. Of course he did. Like the spy on Americans. I wonder if that came up later when they decided to spy on a presidential campaign. I wonder if that came up at all. Oh, we've got to talk about that. Media's been hiding that in their blur of the effort to destroy President Trump with the Wuhan flu. Al, right in my backyard in Linwood, Washington. Al, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Al.
Hello. Hello, Todd. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I discovered your local show about 6 months before you decided to go over and hunt moose.
That's temporary, man. That's temporary. So you're in the grocery business. You've been there 30 years. Tell me about this.
I have. I work for a Kroger's affiliate that starts with Q, and then I own a little food distributorship, mm-hmm. and I service the Redmond and Kirkland area, and I've done both for 21 years. And in fact, that Life Care Center is right in between those two.
Yeah, that's the center where the deaths have come. So what's it like in the grocery business right now? Let's focus on this because I want people to hear about your business and because if anything's keeping it going, I mean, everyone is. This is the thing. We have sanitation workers. We got cops. I just got a tweet from a cop. Yeah, you bet we're on the front line. So what's it like for your people in this business?
Well, the morale of the employees is pretty good. And thus far, I have seen no call-outs or very few call-outs. Everybody's showing up to work and having a good attitude.
I love it.
The customers, you know, when it's a little slower, you know, before business, I mean, business is up 50% every day at least, 50, 60%. Yeah. The grocery store is gutted.
Yeah.
When we receive orders, we might get 50% of what we order. I mean, the warehouses are totally depleted. And my understanding is it's like this around the country.
Yeah. As soon as
the people get into a group, it's like as people, I mean the customers, just this, the psychology is just a panicked frenzy.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is, and see, Al, I know you live in Washington, and I know that you know about Jay Inslee, who the president correctly called a snake, in my judgment. And I know you know this, but this is why it was so stupid and ill-timed of any governor, not just Inslee, across the country. You don't, on a Sunday night, say the businesses are closing. You don't do that. You transmit that I need you to make some changes, like the president has done. You bring business in. You give people a heads up that this may be coming. You'd say, hey, you know what? We're going to ask the businesses to change their hours, to do only to go. You transmit to people. People are grown-ups. They're going to get it. Okay, there's going to be some changes. But when you drop the hammer on a Sunday night, the restaurants are closing, the bars are closing, the gyms are closing, the schools are closing, that's what gets people into panic mode. If you just talk with them the way the president has, I think it's completely different, right? And I don't know about you, but when I heard from Jay Inslee that he decided to shut these facilities, the governor of Washington State, I knew it was going to cause a panic. Did you see an immediate spike after that?
I know that last Thursday, it busted loose.
Yeah.
When did Jay Inslee say that?
He did it on a Sunday night, as I recall. I've driven it from afar. Hey, Al, listen, I appreciate the phone call. I thank you for what you're doing. And I've seen the stock. I used to stock groceries overnight. That was a fun job, by the way. You listen to rock and roll music. You run as fast as you can through a grocery store. You throw freight. Do you hear the difference? Tune in to the media. Look at their websites. See that they are merchandising despair to you. That they're taking this as an opportunity to try to make it the new Russia hoax. I agree completely with what the president said about that, and that Russia's talked about that they'll use anything to get at this president. And really what they want is to get at you. What they are seeking is to control your vote by scaring you, and it's not working, and they're losing. Look at the comparison between Americans keeping America working and Americans in the media attempting to halt it. And scare it and stall it and freak it out. Chris in Richmond, Virginia, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Chris, welcome to Rush's show.
Hey, man, how you doing today?
Doing great, man, doing great. So you're a FedEx driver. You're one of the people keeping things rolling. Tell us what you see in this in the Wuhan flu.
Honestly, I've seen a spike in common materials such as toilet paper, hand sanitizer, paper towels, medical supplies. And it seems like just over the last couple of days, the demand for all these products has gone way through the roof, as, you know, no one wants to leave their home, no one wants to go out. So on the bright side of things, that keeps me in a job. So, and that allows me to pay my bills while still providing the people with, you know, the essentials.
Yeah. And I want to ask you something. What's the mood? What's the mood in the FedEx facilities? I know you're working overtime. I know your package people, the warehouse people, they got to be working overtime. What is the overall mood?
I mean, we're still all in a pretty positive mindset. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, our job security is there, so that'll keep us in a good mood versus, you know, I've got a roommate who is in the restaurant industry and he's out of work for 2 weeks now.
Right. Right. So, exactly. Yep, that's
for
different.
For better or worse, we are still in a good mood.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing and stay in that good mood and look, maybe there's this. Amazon, they need 100,000 people. And I'm not a big fan of Amazon and particularly Jeff Bezos, but they need 100,000 people. They're hiring. That's the point. Hey, David, I'm sorry, Chris. I appreciate the phone call. Do you see the juxtaposition? The point I'm trying to make with Russia's program is that there is a concerted difference. There's a difference. The newsrooms are they appear dark on the outside, like, oh, it's all dark. It's all dismal. We're losing. The country is everyone's going to die. On the inside, they're excited. On the inside of the national newsrooms, I guarantee you they're excited because now we've got them. Now we've finally got the American people. They can't possibly vote for this man, but instead they throw us a socialist and a man who has early onset dementia. And I don't say that to be funny or cruel. It's just a fact. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB network. Yeah, I'm in trouble now. I touched the microphone pad with my finger. We actually got our own microphone pads so that we don't make people sick. Do I sound obsessive about comparing the media to real people? I want to just point one quote out. This is from Karine Jean-Pierre, who works for MoveOn.org. Remember when they mattered back in the day, MoveOn, when they were, you know, then they were relevant and such? Compare this. Compare this to the Americans who are calling Rush's show today. And we're learning that we're all on the front lines. I have a tweet from someone saying, hey, I work at a bank, bud. We got to clean the hard surfaces of our bank every 10 minutes. We're handling cash. We're all at the front lines of this. That's the point. This is why I began Rush's show today saying what I respected about the way he approached talking to the American people. He approached them this way, saying, we are in this together, not as subjects, as citizens. I'm asking you to do things rather than I'm forcing you to do things. It was a remarkable difference. Now, listen to this. This is the focus of MoveOn.org and MSNBC. I wanted to say the xenophobia and the racism in outbreaks is such a common thing. We've seen it in the past health outbreaks that we've seen in this country's history. The problem is it's coming directly from the President of the United States. Does anyone in the real world, anybody in the real world have any experience anywhere with someone saying, because this came from China, from Wuhan, well, the Chinese people in America, they're to blame. Anybody? No, because people are saying, what do I need to do to get over this? How do I need to help my family? You may be, right now, you may be in the midst of doing something that's a great achievement. You may not know it. In your day-to-day, what you're doing today, you may right now be doing your greatest achievement. In fact, Rush took a call from a listener who asked Rush about his greatest achievement. This is the call. I want you to hear this.
Hey, Russ. My question is, what would you consider your greatest accomplishment?
Ooh. Oh, my greatest accomplishment. Oh, man, I don't think like that. You know what? You need to get. I would love to answer this, but I need to think about. I need to think about this. Do you have anything? You have any multiple choice options in mind that you are thinking of here that you're hoping I say isn't a great accomplishment, or is your question just open ended?
I have no idea what it would be. I have no idea. That's why I asked the question.
Well, see, when you start talking about accomplishments, I think working in one radio show for 30 years is unheard of. It's an accomplishment. Is it the greatest one? I don't know. Living, surviving 8 years in New York is a major achievement. Is it my biggest one? I don't know. Turning radio primetime from 6 to 9 a.m. to noon to 3 p.m. Is that a major achievement? Yes. Is it the biggest one? I don't know. Is making a radio show as, if not more, informative and persuasive in TV, that's big. Saving AM radio, that's for others to determine whether or not that's true. What was that? Yeah, I've already done. Yeah, there's a way that I've saved AM radio, but that's that in the chat. I don't know. You're looking to see. I'm getting various help here in the IFB. Whoa, you have revolutionized conservative media. I don't, when I start thinking about greatest achievement, accomplishment, that's the problem. Do I decide to judge this in terms of the business I'm in, which is radio, not politics? Politics is not my business. And I don't want to make too big a deal out of that because I don't want to disappoint a lot of people. But I am in radio. I have specific requirements that have to be met here. And if they're not, this show's not on the air and you don't know who I am, whatever my politics are. So the guy's serious. I can't just fluff off the answer here. I've got to give it some serious consideration, which I will do.
And, okay, I love the answer because Rush is going – I mean, obviously, he is one in a billion in terms of accomplishments financially, professionally, in terms of radio. But you don't know at this moment what it might be. And at MSNBC, their accomplishment is they worked the word racism into a discussion of the Wuhan virus. At a Biden rally, it's an accomplishment that Joe Biden didn't call himself Donald Duck. At a Bernie Sanders rally, it's a victory – If he is able to hypnotize one person into believing that free stuff falls from the tips of Bernie's weird hair. Those are their major accomplishments. You could have yours today. You could be making your major accomplishment today, right? I want to talk to Joe in Kettering, Ohio, about the media, the juxtaposition, the real Americans versus what's going on in the media. Joe, Kettering, Ohio, welcome to Rush Limbaugh's program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Joe.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on Rush's program. And I want to preface this by saying I believe that the media is somewhere between pond scum and cave slime to start with.
Okay. Got that out of the way.
But today I was listening to the president's conference, and they kept harping at him that calling it the Chinese flu was racist. One of them even pointing out that someone in the White House had called it the Kung Flu, which actually I kind of like. I think it fits. But this is, and you understand that we had our primary here in Ohio shut down because of this flu.
Yep.
And I understand this because I were, and I'm not going to give you the name of this, so you don't have to worry about that. But there's a museum that I deal with, a veterans museum, and they have World War II vets that come in there on the weekends.
Mm.
And I'm damn concerned about their health. One of them was supposed to go to Europe.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, was supposed to leave this week.
Yeah.
To revisit the battlefields in Belgium where he was at. And they had to cancel. I mean, so yeah. It is something that does take concern, but everything I've seen on the federal level,
mm-hmm.
at first I was a little questionable about whether we really needed to do these steps. And our even our state level here, our governor, I think, is doing a good job.
So I want to
sorry
point
for
to
all
the...
those people that are out of work right now.
Of course. I want to point
I mean,
to something.
Even my work, and I'm in HVAC,
yeah.
has slacked off because
yeah.
people aren't calling unless they have an absolute emergency.
So let me ask you something, Joe, because you made something, you made a tremendous number of good points. I hear, again, your concern is, in your mind, what about these World War II veterans at this museum where you go and that you deal with?
Anybody
versus
basically over 70.
Right, but then but you also pointed out during the president's press conference today, he's talking about some unprecedented, well, not unprecedented, but very big actions to take control
right.
of portions of the supply chain, and they're back to calling a virus from China is racism, and that's the comparison I'm trying to make. You, a real American, saying, what are we doing for these veterans who have to go to this museum? We have taken
yeah.
phone calls from people saying, you know, what about my grocery store, my people working these 12-hour shifts, et cetera? And this is why they're losing. I firmly believe
exactly.
that, Joe.
We had a vet my wife bakes for the museum every Saturday. It's something we do for the vets.
Yeah.
And one of the guys had a birthday Sunday. He's in an old folks home. We couldn't actually deliver the cake to him in person.
Yeah.
We had to leave it at the front desk and let them take it up to him.
Yep. Yep, and yet you did it. And okay, I need to boil this down, Joe. I want to thank you for the phone call because we're coming up against a break here. I want to thank you for that, what you're doing. I want to try to boil down what I'm sensing. Here's what I'm sensing. I am sensing the moment at which middle-of-mind, persuadable Democrats are going to look at this media and say, dear God in heaven, are you kidding me? The president is taking this concrete step. He's moving a hospital ship off of the into the waters of New York. He's invoking the Defense Production Act. He's talking about $500 billion coming out April 6th. He's talking about all these things. And you want to say calling a flu from China is racism? I really believe, I do, that persuadable, decent Democrats who are not leftists, and there are a few of them left, are looking at this media saying, you're nuts. And worse than nuts, you're doing an act of harm to the American people. I think they're losing them. Because guess what? The media has no ability to persuade us. None. The media, understand this, national media, you have no sway over conservatives. None. Zero. We don't care what you think. We just don't. Because you've proven yourself to be so biased. Much more to get to on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in on the EIB Network. That's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. I want you to hear a point of view that I think speaks well to how the president is handling this. The president gave a speech today. He is invoking the Defense Production Act, which has been invoked by President Obama. The president's trumpet at one point looked to use a portion of it. So it's not unprecedented in our history. But I'm also not going to play the game where I pretend that I'm an expert on that act. Because I'm, you know, on Rush's show. A, too much respect for Rush. B, I don't do that because it's obvious. You guys are smart. You're going to know I just learned about this. But I want to compare the actions the president is taking. The actions he's taking are the actions of a person who thinks he can win. Do you see the difference? You compare the media and their actions are people who think they can tie. Or they can slow down, or they can bog down, or they can taint somebody, or they can apply negativity. They can create an image, but they're not people who feel they can win. Do you see the difference? The president's actions are forward moving. The hospital ship off of New York, the Defense Production Act, the money. And we can disagree about that cash. We've had several calls. I've got several tweets of people saying, how do we afford $1,000 or $2,000 per person? A, I hope it's not per person. B, I would prefer to extend it through unemployment. That's an existing source. See, we had Congressman Louis Gohmert on earlier, who said, hey, look, let's do this through the payroll tax waiver, because then it goes straight to people's check. You don't need a new bureaucracy, a new tracking. It might even be faster. So there's a whole method of ways to get there, and we can debate those policies and where we want government, et cetera. We can debate how much do we, you know, bail out the airlines, et cetera, using tax money. These are all debatable. Here's what's not debatable is that, or it is, but my observation is the president is acting like a man who believes he can beat this thing. Okay? That he can beat what he's now calling the invisible enemy. And I think that's a really smart way to do it. Because if you observe someone's, when you're playing a game against someone, you can kind of tell when they've given up or they're just going for a tie, or if I could just tire you out. That's not the way the president is acting. He's animated as a guy who thinks he can win. And I think he can, and I think he will. And I'm not talking politically. I'm talking about with the virus. This is Professor Jihad Bishara. He's the director of the infectious disease units at PETA Tikva's Belenson Hospital. I learned about this from guy that I think Rush gave him a start in big radio, Mark Levin. And he talks about unnecessary panic that's being foisted upon. He's speaking specifically about Israel, but he's also talking globally. He's been in the business of virology, studying viruses for 30 years. And this is a quote. I've been in this business 30 years. I've been through MERS, SARS, Ebola, the first Gulf War, and the second, and I don't recall anything like this. That's the unnecessary, exaggerated panic. We need to calm people down. People are thinking there's a kind of virus in the air. It's going to attack every one of us, and whomever is attacked is going to die. That's not the way it is. It's not in the air. This is, again, him, his quote. Not everyone who's infected dies. Most of them will get better and not even know they were sick or will have a little bit of mucus. So he says in Israel and around the world, again, quoting him, everybody is whipping everybody else up into a panic. The leaders via the media and the wider public, and who in turn then start to stress out the leaders. We've entered some kind of vicious cycle. Exactly. Exactly. And when you add to that a media that is animated with a desire to to finally steal an election, finally force you to vote for someone other than the president, and they're not going to do that. Just compare that to the actions of a man who step by step is rolling very, very quickly into this. That, again, we can debate the policies. Fine, we can do that all day long. I'm happy to have that debate. And we could do that today. And compare the actions of a man acting like he is going to win versus a media saying we are just here to bog people down. Dennis in Seattle, Washington, speaking of unnecessary panic. Dennis, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Welcome aboard. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. I'm a local truck driver up here, and I just had a message I'd like to get out to people. Right now, we're filling half our trucks full of bottled water, so we're not delivering toilet paper because we're delivering bottled water, and there's nothing wrong with the tap water.
I don't mean to laugh, but it just, you see, Dennis, how you just came in at the right time. You have a virologist saying, guys, it's not in the air. It's not floating around in the air. It's a projectile. Someone has to, like, shed it to you. And, yes, it's deadly for a targeted population. And then you're on Rush's show, and you are seeing the signs of this with people buying bottled water. That's timing. That's great. You keep yourself safe, Dennis. I appreciate you calling Rush's show. Stop by the bottled water. I have well water. Where we our place in Idaho, we have well water, so we like that. But the water's fine. It's fine. I want to talk to people who watched the president's speech next hour. I'd love to get your estimation of it, how you think it landed, and how you think of the press's behavior. I want to get one more quick call in on the front lines real quick. Matt from Bellevue, Washington. What are we doing with all the Washington calls? Matt, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Real quick, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. We do software support. We make software for wineries all over the country. And our wineries, believe it or not.
I bet you I know what he's going to say. I've read about this. There are distilleries and wineries who are switching over to making hand sanitizer. I bet that's what he's going to say. Can you imagine the disappointment of calling Rush's show, getting through the screening process, getting on hold, being on hold for 20 minutes, and then the phone dies? Ah, Matt, sorry about that. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. I just want to finish a caller who got cut off. It's just, I've been on... But I've called Rush's show twice. I got through twice and somehow got through the screening process. And I know the thrill when, and I'm not El Rush, I'm Todd Herman. So I know it's not a thrill to talk to some guy named Todd. I get that. But when you finally get on EIB and you don't get to get your whole statement out, oh my gosh, it can ruin your day. So I'm going to finish what Matt was saying from Bellevue, Washington, who does IT support. His customers are in the winery business. Keith was telling me that what he was saying is, look, we're staying open. And this goes to our fundamental point of the part of the show today, is that the weaving together of what you do and what you're doing now is why we win. Matt was making the point, look, we're in IT for wineries. We're staying open because they're staying open. Because we know that they have to remain in business to pay their people. So even if it's, I don't mean just wineries, but that business, they're keeping people employed. We're keeping longer hours. So next hour, I would love to talk to people who saw the president's speech today or heard the speech, and particularly the media response to this, because I can guess how the media is responding. I'll look at it during the break. It's Todd Herman. It's always an honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. We'll see you in just a bit.